This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. There. Thank you once again for joining me for On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. It's me, J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a great week this week. I took a bit of a road trip to Phoenix, Arizona. Some of you know that I, you know, went to school out here and grew up out here a little bit. I had some work out here and then also had a chance to meet with some friends. You know, these are friends that I haven't seen in over 20-plus years. Two of them I did see a couple of weeks ago at an event in Phoenix, but I really didn't have a chance, you know, to spend that much time with them. So it was a treat, it was a reward to be able to reconnect with people from so long ago. And it was, you know, it was very nice to see that life treated them well. So, I kind of had a good week. I will be going back to Los Angeles tomorrow. I leave out of Phoenix tomorrow morning and start the trek back home just to get back in and on the grind. Well, we have a good show for you tonight, and let me start off by saying you are absolutely able to call in and speak to me or my guest. The number you would call is 1-888-429-5471. Again, that's 1-888-429-5471. Call in with any questions or comments you have during tonight's show, and we will definitely involve you in the conversation. Tonight, my show is going to be about, it's going to be with Mr. Brian Donovan. Brian Donovan is the writer, creator, and director of a really, really cool documentary by the name of Kelly's Hollywood. Kelly's Hollywood, basically, to give a short bit, and then, you know, Brian will come in and tell you a little bit in a second, but Kelly's Hollywood is basically about his sister, Kelly Donovan. She had Down syndrome. And she always wanted to be an actress, and she always wanted to perform in Hollywood. And Brian made that happen for her. So Kelly's Hollywood is basically a documentary on not only the journey leading up to Kelly's big night in Hollywood, but also it shows just the strength and the bond that these two had. If you have not seen Kelly's Hollywood yet, I absolutely invite you to go to Showtime and watch Kelly's Hollywood, or, you know, we'll get into it with Brian and ask him where else you can see it. But let me go ahead and bring in Brian Donovan. Brian, how are you doing, sir? And thank you very, very kindly for taking the time to join me tonight on the level.
Oh, well, thank you, J. Lewis, for having me. I'm thrilled to be on the show, on the level, and I really appreciate you inviting me on. I'm looking forward to talking a little bit about the film and anything else we can come up with.
Absolutely. Now, my first question for you, I just want to get right into it. First of all, let me tell you, I remember going to the premiere that you had in Hollywood, and I was touched by the documentary then, but even as I watched it again this week, you know, it just really it touched a chord in me. So my first question to you is, why do you think your bond with your sister was as strong as it was?
Well, it's a great first question, and it's funny because when you think about the relationships you have, especially the ones that start off so young in life, you just mentioned that you were, you know, you're visiting friends, you know, you haven't seen in 20 years, and you know, you think about the genesis of those friendships, and You know, and I think it's even a little harder to kind of figure out with family members, because, you know, they're all you ever know. You know, from zero on, this is, you know, who your family is. And those dynamics, just I think a lot of them just are on autopilot, and they just kind of take their own course. But I think with my sister and I was 2.5 years older than Kelly. So, you know, I had an older brother who was 2.5 years older than me. So when she entered the scene, you know, my brother was 5, I was 2.5. And so I don't really remember much more than I guess a feeling of her coming home from the hospital and sitting on the steps of the front, you know, in front of the front door. And, but throughout our young life, you know, when we were old enough to, or I guess I was a little more aware and can remember some of those feelings I had, it was probably, you know, 6, 7, 8. And one of the things that we did that I think solidified, the love of each other, was just the fact that we were both entertainers. We both loved performing. And so very early on, we became kind of each other's, fan, you know, for lack of a better word, a cheerleader and audience. And, you know, and as a little kid, you crave that attention, you know, you're always kind of looking, you know, for that attention. And so Kelly and I just, you know, really bestowed that on each other early on. And I think from there, it just kind of took off. And I got, you know, frankly, I got a kick out of my sister. I mean, you know, she's, you know, as you know, from the documentary, she's really, really funny. And she's always been really, really funny. And so, you know, I got a kick out of her. And I think, you know, I'd like to think she got a kick out of me. And so we just kind of fueled that fire in us. And it was just nice to have a teammate, you know, and someone that loved you as much as you love them. And, you know, and again, I think it goes back to a very innate need that we all have when we're children, you know, to be loved like that and have that kind of attention. And then, you know, the dynamic took a little bit of a turn when I was, you know, when I was prepubescent, you know, into my teens. You know, I started to realize that, you know, I took on almost a little bit more of a guardian role and you know, just to make sure that, you know, she was cool and okay. And, you know, we're talking, I mean, we're going back to the 70s, you know, so, you know, times were a little different. And, you know, so I just wanted to make sure that she was okay in the world. And, you know, and you hear things like, you know, hey, Dave, I have to say this out loud, but retard, and, you know, who's the retard, you know, just stuff like that. And, you know, and I knew enough very early on that wasn't okay. It didn't set well with me. It didn't sit well with my sister. And, you know, and so then I became somewhat of a protector. And, you know, and fortunately, some of that, you know, kind of went to the wayside as we got older and she became more of an adult. And then my role, I suppose, you know, into our 20s was I just wanted people to see my sister for who she was rather than just, you know, this labeled, you know, Down syndrome or, you know, from afar and just cast these labels on her. And, you know, I really wanted her to be in the room with me and interact with people and for her to see that she was a beautiful, complex person just like we all are, you know. And that, I guess, became my mission in life and then further with the documentary, you know, which is why I made it, really, in essence. Anyway, long answer to a short question, but that's kind of the evolution and the course it took throughout our lives.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier in your explanation, you said that you and Kelly were both entertainers. Can you remember back to the first time you and Kelly did any type of a performance together, whether it was before dinner in your living room or whether it was on stage somewhere? Do you remember the first time you and Kelly started play acting or play performing together? And what was that about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's some really beautiful footage from, you know, my dad. I mean, thank God it was only a few minutes that were salvageable. My dad took some Super 8 stuff when we were, you know, really young. I mean, I couldn't have been more than 6 or 7. And my sister was, you know, maybe 3.5, 4, or 4.5. I don't know. And there's some footage of us in the living room, you know, dancing together and kind of carrying on. And I think that was, you know, for lack of a better, our stage. And so I do remember pretty vividly a lot of shenanigans in the living room and before dinner, after dinner, you know, whenever we could, you know, get some an audience, you know, together. And if we didn't have one, we, you know, again, we were our own audience. But yeah, we'd sing and we'd pick up the imaginary mic and we'd dance. And, you know, we weren't necessarily acting per se. It was more song and dance, I guess, when we were little. But yeah, I mean, I remember those pretty vividly, and that you know was throughout our lives, you know. And then I got the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, and then I got the Grease con, you know, the Grease soundtrack, and we'd play those albums till the needle broke or the vinyl was worn, you know. And yeah, it was just, you know, silly fun, and we both enjoyed it immensely, you know. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. It was really our thing, you know, and we loved it. We weren't really ever on stage together. I mean, sometimes when I brought her out, I mean, a lot of the documentary, I'd say 80% probably is our lives together in Los Angeles, because every year I would bring my sister out to Los Angeles after I moved here in 1990 for 2 months to be with her big brother in Hollywood. And so, you know, prior to that, we did a few open mics, and, you know, she always wanted to sing at open mics. And so I would stand, you know, by her side during those. And then out here in California, we do some of that too. And then, you know, we'd have friends over in the living room and, you know, she'd put on her show, so to speak. And okay. So then, you know, those kind of things happen. But, you know, never professionally until really the culmination of the documentary, which was her lifelong dream to perform, you know, on a stage in Hollywood, live audience, the whole bit. And so that was really, you know, the climax to the film and also our lives, you know. I mean, we finally made it happen later in life, you know, in 2006.
You said that you moved to Hollywood in 1990. You moved from Hollywood, I mean, from Buffalo, New York, am I correct, to Hollywood?
Yeah, close enough. I mean, I grew up in Buffalo. You know, my family was there and Kelly lived there, you know, 10 months out of the year with my parents. I actually went to university, John Carroll University in Cleveland, Ohio. So okay. I was going, after I graduated, I was going back and forth between Buffalo and Cleveland. And then, you know, I delivered a car basically out to Los Angeles. That's how I got here. There was a company called Auto Driveway, and you put a $200 deposit down and you paid for gas, you got your $200 back if the car showed up in one piece. And that's pretty much how I got out here in 1990. So I came from Buffalo, yeah.
How long were you in Hollywood before you brought Kelly out the first time? And what was her first experience in Hollywood like?
You know, it blew her away. I mean, I think, like, you know, like all of us to some degree, you know, Hollywood's a magical place. You know, you grow up watching movies, television, and, you know, a lot of shows back in the 70s and 80s were, you know, like Chips, you know, they were shot in L.A. And, you know, so, you know, I think we're all as kids pretty well versed on Hollywood in some way. And there's a mystique about it. There's, you know, all those things. And so my sister was no different. I mean, she was as enamored by Hollywood as anyone. And on the high side of that, I would say. And she came out in the summer of 1990, so a few months after I'd moved out here. And she came with my parents and, you know, blown away. You know, I remember vividly, and I have a great photo of my parents and Kelly in front of the Hollywood sign up in the hills. And you know, she was tickled by the whole thing, you know. And you know, that's pretty well documented in the film, too. You know, she loved every aspect of it, you know, every aspect.
Now when you and Kelly were together, it was the best of times. But when Kelly had to go home and she wasn't going to be with you, how was that for you, and how was that for her in your interpretation?
Yeah, it's you know, it's. I think the easiest answer is, like all of us, you know, whenever we're on vacation and we can kind of check out and make the great escape from the grind, as you said earlier, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, vacation's vacation. I think, you know, for Kelly, yeah, it was vacation. It was a good time, and and you know, she'd have to go back to the realities of Buffalo, and she worked at a work shelter for disabled adults, and you know, and it, for lack of better, it was essentially an assembly line. And you know, my mm-hmm. sister, you know, it wasn't very stimulating. It was you know, very menial labor, and you know, she loved her paycheck, and that's why she went, and she had some peers that she enjoyed being with, but you know, as far as self-actualization, it was the furthest thing from. And okay. So you know, in Hollywood, she was able to, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know if it's the best way to articulate it, but you know, I think it somewhat normalized her life. You know, I mean, she was able to plug into the real world, you know, and she was able to carry on and hang out with me and all my friends, and we all treated her, you know, as an equal, and she was able to shine. She was able to entertain and carry on, and you know, we'd go to coffee shops, and she'd come with me to all my, you know, auditions, and yeah, which I'm not sure it's clear to your listeners, but you know, I'm an actor by trade, and so you know, she'd come to all the auditions with me, and you know, it was exciting, it was thrilling, and yeah, I mean, you know, I witnessed, and my mom recounted often, you could hear it in Kelly's voice, and certainly our phone calls after she left and had to go back home. You know, it was devastating. You know, it took a couple months, I think, for her to really kind of pick up again and just plug back into her routine in Buffalo. For me, it was the same. You know, I looked forward to my sister coming. You know, it didn't happen. The 2 months didn't happen for a few years. It probably wasn't until the mid to late 90s, you know, after probably 6 or 7 years I was here, where I was able to, you know, I actually, you know, had my own routine, and I had a situation where I could have her come longer. So she would come out for, you know, a couple weeks, and then a few weeks, and then a month, and then eventually it turned into 2 months. But yeah, for me, it was the same. You know, when she wasn't here, I missed her terribly. And then when she was here, it was awesome. And we were this tag team, and just fun. And of course, I took, you know, it was a vacation for me of a sort too. You know, I kind of backed off of work. I mean, I certainly worked, and I still pursued things and what have you. I mean, I couldn't take 2 months off, obviously, but you know, it was always a little lighter, and you know, we had friends over, and you know, it was just a little more of a social scene. So it was really fun that way. And my friends would say the same. You know, when Kelly came to town, it was an opportunity for all of them to just kind of, you know, to enjoy life a little bit more and be more present and not, you know, get so on the rat wheel of life and work and all of that. I mean, Kelly had a real gift of doing that. And when she left, there was a void. You know, I missed her. And, you know, my wife recounts in the documentary, and, you know, that, you know, I kind of swirled in my own little depression, you know, after mm-hmm. after Kelly left. And, you know, there was just, I just had to figure out life again without her. And then, you know, and then, of course, I got back into my routine, and life carries on. But I think it's, you know, it's not dissimilar to how we all feel after a vacation, you know, like, you know, it's, there's yeah. there's a depression, you know, there's like, oh God, you know, here we go, you know, back into it. And, you know, and I think Kelly and I were the same, you know, nothing extraordinarily different about that. And, yeah, it was just highs and lows. And then you just get back on the wheel and you go round and round again, and you wait for next year, you know, anxiously.
Okay. Well, I do also understand, and I am so sorry to say this, but Kelly passed in 2009, and as much as I know, she saw some of the footage, because you spoke about, I believe I was watching an interview, and you spoke about how you would kind of temperature gauge, and if she was bored, you wouldn't, you know, you knew that wasn't going on the documentary, but if it was something that lit her up, you know, you put that in there. So I know that she saw some of it, but what do you think Kelly would have, number one, thought of the finished product of Kelly's Hollywood? And while you were promoting it, while you were doing interviews, or while you were, you know, on the road having your premieres, would you have taken Kelly with you? And if so, how do you think she would have liked that experience?
Well, you know, I mean, it's been, you know, frankly, the whole ride and celebrating the film has been bittersweet. You know, obviously, you know, it's been amazing to celebrate my sister and her legacy, and the fact that I have a film that people have embraced so dearly, and embraced her, you know, even after her passing, through the film. It's been incredibly rewarding and amazing, really, simply. It's been amazing. But, you know, it's bittersweet, of course. I would love nothing more than my sister to be able to witness this firsthand and to be by my side and to walk these red carpets and be at the Q&As with me and watch, you know, a theater of 200 to 300 to 500 people stand and clap for her. And, you know, I mean, that's... It would have been magical. And I mean, it still is to some degree, because I know, you know, she's up on a cloud dancing with Patrick Swayze somewhere, you know, and then, you know, she's able to enjoy it, I hope and pray in some way. And, you know, she was able to see some raw footage, which was great. And as you recounted, for your listeners, that, you know, I had so much raw footage, over 135 hours, and then, you know, 5,000 still photos. And so I knew I had to call through a lot of stuff to start sculpting the documentary. And because she was with me for 2 months, I thought, oh, well, it'll be fun and we'll have a chance to sit through some of it. And so she did see quite a bit of the raw footage. And as you say, you know, when she was bored, I was like, well, if she's bored, then, you know, the audience is going to be bored and, you know, I'll toss that. That's, you know, cutting room floor stuff. And then, you know, if something lit her up, I'd make a note of it or a star, and I'd consider it, you know, on the high side of the picks, if you will, in filmmaker speak. And so there'd be a bin of, you know, trash. There'd be a bin of maybe. There'd be a bin of intriguing but not sure. There'd be a bin of, you know, I hope this makes it because it's great, you know, for whatever reason, funny, sad, poignant, intriguing, you know, whatever. But yeah, she was a great first audience. And you know, and two things about my sister, you know, she was a great protagonist. She loved, you know, being filmed. She loved that I was making a doc-mary. She couldn't say documentary, but, you know, she'd say, "You making that doc-mary about me?" And
I'd be like, "Yeah, doc-mary, okay."
yeah, exactly, man. You know, every time I pulled out the camera, she was just like, "Making that Doc Mary," and, you know, and sometimes she'd get mad if I turned the camera off. You know, I mean, she became a true diva. I mean, which is one of the reasons I shot her. It's one of the reasons we performed all the time. I mean, my sister through and through was a diva, and God help us, I think to some degree, if she was still here and doing this tour, you know, her head would be so damn big she wouldn't be able to fit through the door. You know, she'd be demanding, you know, take out all the, you know, the green M&Ms, you know, in the bowl and, you know, crap like that, and a rider. But, you know, she loved it, you know, and she loved watching herself too, the playback. So that was fun. And I feel, you know, thank God, I'm thrilled that she was able to see some of the raw footage, because it, you know, it certainly does break my heart a little bit that she was never able to see, you know, the final version of Kelly's Hollywood. To your question, what I think she would have thought, I think a lot like me, you know, even the documentary is a little bittersweet. And I think the things that are celebrated in the film, you know, she would have lit up about. I mean, certainly her performances and meeting, you know, the Bee Gees and Colin Firth and all of her love interests and, you know, all that stuff lit her up and lights the audience up, you know, when we show the film. But I think, you know, like me and my wife, my mom, and, you know, some of the more confronting scenes in the film, you know, would have been confronting for Kelly too. You know, it would have been hard, of course, to watch her health deteriorate. It would have been hard, I think, for her to see my mom cry in the film and her to cry in the film. It would have been hard, I think, to hear the girl from my girlfriends and ex-girlfriends and my now wife talk about her as one of the obstacles in the relationship. And, you know, so those things would have been hard. And frankly, I'm not exactly sure how much my sister, you know, would have understood the complexities of all those things. I mean, I think on a guttural level, she would have understood them. The complexities and the nuances, I'm not 100% sure, you know, how she would have interpreted some of that stuff. But but I think in the end, I'd like to think that, she'd be pretty, you know, pretty pickled pink to know that, you know, there's a movie about her in the world. You know, I mean, not too many people can say that. You know, it's pretty amazing. And I think she certainly would have seen it in that way. And again, I think had she been witness to and been by my side for these big screenings and these events, I mean, my God, she would have loved it. She would have loved it. I mean, you know, I mean, you can see that from the film. I mean, my sister gobbled all that stuff up, you know, and one of my greatest joys and satisfactions is still in the film, you know, towards the end, right before the big show that we do, you know, I had everybody, it was about 150 people, and I had everybody there on the steps of this theater, and we had a red carpet and a limousine was donated and Klieg lights. And so, you know, I had all our friends come early and act as the paparazzi and the screaming fans, and, you know, and watching my sister get out of the limousine and have this moment and climb the stairs and the red carpet and everyone screaming her name and signing autographs. And, you know, it's just really, I mean, even now it gives me goosebumps, and it was just such a thrilling moment. And a dream I had for my sister for such a long time, and she gobbled it up. You know, she was in heaven, as I think most of us would be. You know, I mean, you know, we might have false modesty, but, you know, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, you know, I think, you know, we all want to be here for a reason. We all want to matter in some way, shape, or form. We all hope we'll be remembered, and really, frankly, I think, you know, we all want to be celebrated. You know, whether it's an extravagance like that or not, you know, it's not for everyone, certainly, but I think, you know, it's nice to be celebrated, you know, it's nice to be validated. It's nice to be, it's nice to know people care, you know, and that they're happier in this world and alive that was it. That was that moment, you know, watching my sister, you know, walk the red, it was it, as I said, the culmination of so much of our lives and celebrating her, as I always had hoped, you know.
What was it that at one point, now it am I also correct in knowing that it took 7 years to do this from beginning to end, correct?
Yeah. Two and a half of those years, Kelly passed in the middle of post. I guess middle is all relative, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, you know, I had dug into post and editing and started making the film, and she passed away. And so my intention was, you know, was never to make it a post-mortem piece. But when she died, you know, as you can imagine, and I'm sure your listeners can too, you know, I crumbled. You know, she was my soulmate, really everything to me. And, you know, I couldn't figure out a way to get back into the film, and my spirit wasn't in it. And, you know, I was just really fragile and emotionally broken. And so I took, almost 2.5 years off, and I wasn't sure I was ever going to pick it up again. And then as these things go, and I suppose any of your creative, listeners, can relate to this to some degree, you know, you have that gnawing little voice that tells you to, you got to do it. You know, that's basically what happened. You know, I just had that little voice deep inside that just, you know, said, you got to finish this journey. You know, you got to finish the film. You got to finish the journey. And so that's what I did. So I picked it back up, and then, I was done for almost a year. But, you know, as filmmakers certainly can relate, there's so much procedural, producerial stuff to make it a film, and licensing and clearances. And so I had to deal with a lot of that stuff for almost a year after I was locked and finished. But all up, it was about 7 years. It was a long journey. And that, of course, doesn't even reflect actually shooting my sister, which, you know, I have some footage from 98, the Super 8 stuff from my dad in the 70s. And then I started shooting a little more frequently in 2001. And then I got serious about making a documentary about my sister in 2003. Then we had the live show in 2006. And then I started the post in 2007, about mid-2007 into 8. And then she passed in 2009. You know, it was the stepping stones to where we are right now. We're pretty...
You spoke a couple of times about that of you putting another documentary together, and another question. I'm sorry, I asked two questions at a time. And another question I would like to know is, have you ever thought of, or do you have any plans of writing a scripted feature or television show based on Kelly. So do you, are you planning on putting out another documentary with what you have? And are you, would you ever consider doing a scripted film or TV show based on your sister?
To your first question about the documentary, you know, I do have some lovely rough, you know, footage that never made the final cut. And I would always, you know, I would love to dabble in that, and maybe, you know, probably what that would look like is little, you know, short, you know, minute and a half pieces that I'll, you know, either put on social media, because there's a Kelly's Hollywood Facebook page, and, you know, or YouTube or something like that. I don't anticipate going back in and making another documentary about my sister in any sort of long form. To the scripted side, you know, I have mulled that over quite a bit, and I've certainly considered it. And in fact, I've become quite friendly with two fantastic actresses who just happen to have Down syndrome, Jamie Brewer, who I think you know, and Lauren Potter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're dynamite actresses, and so I toyed with that for a little while, and I thought, oh God, it'd be great to team up with them and you know, play siblings or a semblance of what my documentary is about. It doesn't necessarily have to go beat for beat, but I still do entertain that. What I have done that's a little more current is I've gotten involved with another project with Lauren Potter, and it's not similar other than the fact that it's about a brother and a sister. She plays the sister, and the brother has to go back to the small town where they're from because the mom has passed, and you know, the brother is to some degree has to take care of and guardianship you know, Lauren Potter's character. And but it's, you know, it's a dark comedy. It's in your face and unapologetic. And so I got involved with that, the people involved with that and the creators, on a consultant basis. And then, in a small role of that, I don't play the brother. I'm too old for that, but you know, so I don't know, you know, we'll see. We just shot, a really wonderful, promo teaser for it. That's being edited right now. And, so we'll see, you know, if that gets some traction, then that would be really wonderful. I mean, one of the things that's happened with the film is it's really, given me a wonderful, it's opened a lot of doors back into, the Down syndrome community and really the disabled community at large. And it's been super gratifying, you know, because in a lot of ways, my relationship with my sister, was somewhat in a vacuum, and she didn't really, you know, because she was coming out to see me in Hollywood and much of our life was out here, our adult life was out here, you know, she didn't want, you know, to be around her Down syndrome peers or her disabled peers. You know, she wanted to kind of check out of all that, you know, and she wanted to be, again, I guess, to have as normal a life as possible. And our visits and our 2 months in Hollywood together kind of afforded that for her. But consequently, you know, I wasn't that plugged into the Down syndrome community for many years, except with my sister, really, frankly, and that intimate relationship. But through the film, I've actually been able to get more involved, and I've been to the National Down Syndrome Convention 3 years in a row now, and it's been super, you know, super amazing, super gratifying. I've met wonderful people, you know, Jamie and Lauren, as I mentioned, but, you know, countless others. I've gotten to know the cast of Born This Way, and, you know, and it's just been really amazing, really. And I, you know, I have my sister yet again to thank for that experience and these experiences. And she's given me, you know, throughout my life when she was here, she's given me purpose and passion through the film. She continues to give me purpose and passion. And, you know, I mean, what a gift, you know. It's been an incredible gift. And I feel very fortunate.
This is On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. You are listening to my conversation with Brian Donovan. I have a call for you, Brian. This is from Deborah from California. Deborah, are you there?
I certainly am. Brian, I am so in awe of you, your sister, and the film I saw the other week. And I just want to thank you for it truly, truly listening to an individual. I think so many of us don't feel heard from our, you know, brothers and sisters, from our parents, from our spouses, from the world. And certainly you allowed your sister to feel heard. And I really want to thank you for that.
Well, Deborah, I thank you. I mean, really, thank you for taking the time to watch the film, to listen to us now on the level, and to even make the call. And, you know, I have to say, you know, it's wow. I started to well up, so I'm going to back off that. But I will say this. You know, I don't know if you've reached out through social media yet or not, and I hope you do.
I have.
You have. So have we contacted each other then? Have we had an exchange?
I was the one that posted a lot of your the social media to other people about your film because it so touched me.
Oh, Deborah with an H.
Yes.
Yes.
Deborah with an H.
Well, thank you so much because, you know, it's funny because when you make these things, especially the long form art pieces, whatever it may be, Stairway to Heaven or a documentary about your sister, you spend a lot of time, you know, shaping clay. And honestly, there was more than a few times where, you know, of course, I mean, it's human nature. You second guess yourself and you go, wow, you know, is this, what am I doing? You know, and it was. You jokingly said, you know, trying to be heard from your spouse, and you know, it caused a lot of friction between my wife and I. You know, because not only did we have to deal with a lot of stuff when my sister was alive, but then after she passed, and then my wife had to deal with me making a documentary about my sister, and now promoting the documentary. And but I guess my point is, you don't know really what you have until it's out there and you put it out there in the world and you keep your fingers crossed. And, you know, I jokingly just said recently, my documentary is easily could have just sat on a shelf and gotten dusty. And, you know, I've made other projects that have. And but what's been so amazing is the fact that it didn't. It has found the light, if you will, and people have watched. And I've been incredibly fortunate to have, you know, a lot of people, especially now that it's on Showtime, reach out and express how much it's touched them. And it's just incredible because, you know, my sister always touched me in that way, I guess. And I wasn't sure if it would translate, you know, on film, quite frankly. And it has, you know, and the fact that you've taken the time to express that and others, you know, as I said, right before you called, you know, what a gift. And my sister's, continuously giving me this gift. But you know, I think to your point about being heard and listened to, you know, I haven't done everything right, but one of the things, and I don't know, maybe it's because I was surrounded by disabilities when I was growing up. My father was deaf, my sister had Down syndrome, my best friend had kyphosis, which in layman's terms was, he had a hunchback, and, you know, he grew just about 4 feet, and, you know, but he was disabled. And but I was very fortunate as a young person to be surrounded by people with disabilities that that weren't often heard or recognized in a room for other, you know, anything other than their disability. And so really I thank them, you know, for giving me the empathy, if you will, for lack of a better word. But it's so important, and, you know, and we get lost in the white noise of life, and we get complacent about our friendships, our family, our lovers, our spouses, resentful even sometimes. But I think if we all just listen to each other a little bit more and spent more energy lifting each other up, you know, the world would be a much better place, which I think at least the three of us here agree with that. I wish there was more of it, frankly. And I know there's quite a few of us that are trying to do that, but never enough, you know, really. At the end of the day, never enough. And But thank you for your kind words. It means a lot to me, and it's nice to know that my 7 years weren't in vain.
No, they absolutely weren't. Deborah, you said you saw the movie earlier last week. What did you think? How did it hit you? And what resonated with you the most from Kelly's Hollywood?
Well, I wasn't expecting too much because I'm really I'm a busy person. I don't watch too many movies, but I happened to be over at a friend's house, and they said, "Oh, I got Showtime. Let's watch it." I said, "Great." And we both began to watch it, and I was totally taken. I was taken by the lovingness of Brian for his sister and Kelly for Brian, and for the portrayal of the parents, the sympathy of, you know, for the mother and the father who is deaf and growing up in Buffalo, New York, and, you know, just being together and wanting to perform, because I was an only child, so I didn't have that kind of, camaraderie and or friendship with, you know, anybody in my family. But I appreciated that with you, and just seeing Kelly blossom, you know, in her life. And, you know, I learned early that she had a hole in her heart. And I was like, oh, my God, she's not going to live very long. And even, you know, the doctors told you that, you know, when she was born, oh, she should be institutionalized. And I went, oh, my gosh, you know. And then to see how she blossomed as a person, I went, well, this is not a person that should have been institutionalized. This is a person that should have just been loved and given a chance to live. And I thought, wow, I'm sorry. I thought, wow, this is so wonderful. I'm sorry.
Wow. No, you're totally fine. How does that hit you, Brian, that your documentary has affected somebody to this degree?
I started to well up a couple minutes ago, just the fact that you called, you know, and it blows me away. I mean, my sister, as I said earlier, she was everything to me, you know. I mean, for she was everything. And when she passed, I wasn't sure how to live life without her, frankly. I slowly built the pieces back up and figured out a way, and also figured out a way to finish the film, and with the hope that someday, someone would see it, you know, besides me and my friends that I made watch the rough cuts, you know. It blows me away, you know. I mean, certainly you hope that your film, your artistic endeavors affect people in some way. And I always knew that if I made a film, you know, some of my favorite films, the ones that make you laugh and cry and, you know, within seconds of each other, and, you know, you're barely done crying and you're laughing again, and then you're crying again. And, you know, Terms of Endearment comes to mind. My Life as a Dog, you know, these films inspired me, when I was younger, and I knew that I had done the job in that way. You know, I knew, not that my, you know, my mission was to make people laugh and cry, but I knew my sister did that naturally. You know, I mean, I knew that the life that she lived and the passion she had, and, you know, again, it always resonated with me, but I wasn't sure if it would resonate with an audience. And the fact that it has, and the people recognize, you know, the spirit of who she was. And not only that, but just, you know, I think symbolic of the film, and really what I hope to do, and when I tour the film, I speak to students, especially kids. You know, I'd like to think that the film speaks for itself, and it gives an example of, you know, if we just spend a little more time lifting each other up, you know, you look at how much we can all flourish from that. You know, I look at the vibration that my sister created by herself, and then I look at the vibration that she created in me, and then the vibration, without getting too corny and weird, but, you know, the vibration that we created together in each other, sure. and then the ripples that created, and the people that we affected, with just our love, you know, nothing more or less than just our love. And You know, but and that's why I tell a lot of students, you know, and kids especially, that you have to find people that lift you up, you know, and try to avoid people that don't. And, you know, sometimes you're stuck, you're still at the mercy of your family and whatever. And sometimes your family members are the ones that kind of crush you or oppress you. But, you know, when you can, you fly, you get out of there, you flap your wings, you find people that will lift you up. And if you care about your own life and the trajectory of your life and your dreams, you will find people that will help you and lift you up, especially when you're a kid, you know. And that's what I remind them. I said, you have this beautiful opportunity, you know, because you are young, and you have this beautiful spirit that people will lift you up, you know. And I hope, you know, and I guess, you know, Deborah would attest to the fact that, you know, we did that, and the film reflects that, and that's just, it's just incredibly gratifying, you know, that my sister and I and my family, and that, you know, at the very least, we create an example of what can happen through love, you know. Because at the end of this, you know, at its simplest, I describe the film as a love story. It's, you know, it's a love story, and it's love that will make you feel better about the world. And, you know, it's hard to promote your film that way because it sounds grandiose and less than modest. But, you know, especially with the world and all the crap that's going on right now, I just, you know, I'd like to think that people will find the film and feel a little bit better about life and love and, you know, what we're all doing here, you know.
Well, thank you very kindly for your call, Deborah. I appreciate you taking the time to call, and I absolutely appreciate you sharing your heart and speaking to Brian. So I hope you have a great evening. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Can I have one more thing to say to Brian?
Absolutely.
Right. I think, you know, what I walked away from this film with is that there's a Kelly in all of us. You know,
yeah.
And what you did with this film was tell us it's okay. It's okay to be who you are. And I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, thank you from the bottom of mine. And, you know, I'm so glad you actually stayed on the line to say that because, you know, that was my sister's constant reminder to me. You know, that was her greatest gift to me was just that she exemplified every single day that you embrace who you are and no one else. And if people love you for it, great. If they don't, too bad, you know. But carpe diem, you know, I mean, really, carpe diem. And, you know, and that's, you know, my brother says all the time, it's like, oh, my God, you know, I wish I was Kelly. You know, I mean, she had a great life. But it was a life that she wove herself. And granted, you could say that, you know, I helped and others helped, of course, sure, we did, but it was from, you know, her, you know, again, I'll use that wacky 60s phrase of vibration, you know, it was the fact that she just vibrated on such a level of what she needed and wanted and the passion she had that you couldn't help but be, you know, attracted to that and want to help, you know. And I think if we all spend a lot less time worrying about what the world thinks of us and et cetera, and just be our best selves, then, you know, that's our greatest gift to ourselves, certainly, but the world, you know. But thank you, Deborah. I'm thrilled you reached out, and thank you for contacting me via social media too. And thank you again for watching the film. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Brian. I'll say good night.
Thank you, man. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Okay, so, what does Kelly's Hollywood mean to Brian Donovan?
Wow, that's a good one. You know, I without repeating myself, I think a lot of it was covered with the phone call and our exchange with Deborah. But, you know, look, I guess at its simplest, it means celebrating my sister and continuing her legacy. And by that, it goes back to what we said with Deborah. You know, I mean, my sister was so pure, and by that I don't mean she was happy all the time, and, you know, all these misconceptions, you know, you hear people say, yeah, oh, Down Sound syndrome children. They're so lovely, and they're just happy all the time, and they just love and hug. And no, you know, you'll see in the documentary, my sister was as moody and as complex as all of us, you know, but what she was, that was an incredible example. And I think Deborah said it best, is my sister's an example of just how to live a rich, full life, being exactly who you are and who you know you are, you know, because, I mean, I say it in the film, my sister was never meant to be on an assembly line, you know, punching holes in some, you know, some rubber thing. My sister was an entertainer, and she knew she was an entertainer. And, you know, and granted, you couldn't pit her against Celine Dion. She wasn't a great singer. You couldn't pit her against Nicole Kidman. She wasn't, you know, the most incredible actress. You know, she wasn't the best dancer. But man, oh man, she believed that she was. And that is attractive. You know what I mean? I mean, look, we can't all dance around and act crazy all the time. But what we can do is live our most authentic self and trust that's okay, you know. And my sister, again, she personified that better than anyone I know. I mean, she knew who she was, and she wanted the world to see it, and so did I, you know. And that's what Kelly's Hollywood means to me, you know. I wanted people to see my sister, and yeah, sure, sidebar, shatter stereotypes and labels, speak to codependence and some of the other themes that run through the course of the documentary. But at its core, it's a celebration of a life well lived. And, you know, and frankly, you know, many have said that Kelly lived to almost just shy of 40 when the doctor said 12 and then 20. You know, and I honestly believe it's because she loved life so friggin' much, you know, and that is the best medicine in the world, you know. And I think it's what kept her alive for, you know, more than double what the doctors all thought, you know. And that's a lesson, you know. It's a lesson to all of us, you know. Find something you're passionate about. Find purpose. And know ultimately life will catch you or help you along or gently, you know, provide a little wind at your back, as the old Irish saying goes. And you know, and it will. You know, I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that. And that's not to say that there's not ups and downs and you know, boo-hoo times. And, you know, I still lay on my pillow and cry sometimes. And I still have dark days, you know, whether it's my sister's passing and all the others I've lost, or, you know, things aren't going quite my way, or I'm not exactly where I want to be in my career, whatever it is. You know, that doesn't dismiss those things. And my sister had those too. You know, back to your reflection on how was she when she left Hollywood, which, you know, she was depressed. You know what I mean? Like, there's no sugarcoat that, you know, so it doesn't say that, you know, you can have a life fully self-actualized for the rest of it because you've honored the authentic self and you looked in the mirror, but it gives you a hell of a better chance of living a full life, you know?
How often do you feel Kelly with you present day?
You know, I wish more than I do. And I guess, you know, I work on Kelly's Hollywood, you know, every day. So in that way, she's with me all of the time. And I'm able to celebrate her, and I'm able, but it's weird. I've only had a few dreams about her. I should preface that by saying I don't dream about people I know in general. So it's, you know, it's not to say that, you know, oh, it's just Kelly. But yeah, I've only had a few dreams about her, which is tragic to me. I would love for her to visit me in my dreams and have that time with her and have it feel, you know, as real as dreams do. And that would be amazing. But it doesn't happen that often. But yeah, there's absolutely times when it stops my heart. You know, my young son who's 4 now, you know, has the exact same hair color as my sister, and so when I see him from, you know, from behind, sometimes I just get this jolt of Kelly. And there's things that they both do that I get this jolt of my sister, or remember something she's done or how she's done, and, you know, almost in that DNA gene way, you know, like, oh wow, you know, she's here, there's a part of her in them. And you know, and then I have pictures, you know, all over on the refrigerator, on my desk, and there's, you know, there's moments I just pause and just take her in, and you know, so there's absolutely moments, but I guess what's missing really for me is that dream state. You know, I would love to have dreams about her, you know, every night or at least once a week, or hell, I'd even take once a year. Yeah. But you know, it is what it is, and you know, again, I get to celebrate her every day, so there's magic in that, you know, which is amazing, you know, whether it's posting something on social media or, you know, making plans. I'm doing a big event in Chicago coming up, and another one on the Buddy Cruise, and, you know, so making those plans. You know, there's just this constant movement with the film, and one event leads to another, and, you know, or someone like Deborah will reach out via social media, and I just had this beautiful, beautiful experience with a 9-year-old, who has a sister who's 3 with Down syndrome, and another baby sister. And I just happened to run into her and the mom and the girls, all the girls and the mom in the lobby at the National Down Syndrome Convention. And I was giving the film away, you know, I was just like, you know, here, I want you to have a copy of this. And, you know, you don't know me, you can watch it or not watch it, it doesn't matter. She didn't know anything about the film. And her 9-year-old went to one of the SIB panels that I had. And as soon as they got home, she insisted on watching it. She's since watched it, a bunch of times. And she wrote me this incredible little letter about how it changed her life and how it's given her hope and amazing. And, you know, it's on my social media page for Kelly's Hollywood on the Facebook page. And, yeah, it was just one of those moments where I was like, wow, you know, like I've said what a gift a lot tonight, and I apologize for repeating myself. But, I mean, really, truly, it is. It's just one of those moments where it's just a gift, you know. I mean, I realize, you know, it's not beyond me to recognize how lucky I am, you know, really, because you know, I've been the recipient of a lot of you know, exchanges, like with Deborah, you know. I mean, that's my God, you know. Some people can go their whole life without those kind of exchanges, and that's heartbreaking in itself. And so it's not beyond me to recognize how incredible this journey's been and the gifts that my sister keeps giving me, you know, through the film and otherwise. So it's awesome, you know. It's been awesome.
Well, we have eaten up a whole hour, and there is still so much more that I wanted to talk to you about. So all that means is you're going to have to come back at some point so that we can finish this conversation. But before you leave, I would like for you to, and I really don't care how long it takes, I would like for you to tell everywhere people can possibly see the documentary if they haven't seen it already, what your social media is, so that people can follow you. And just so you know, any of your social media links or anything that you want to put up on the show, my show page for your show, I will absolutely put it up. So I'll give you an email address to get all that information too. But just tell everybody now where they can, the full gauntlet of where they can find and follow Kelly's Hollywood.
Yeah, well, let me start by saying thank you, Jay Lewis, for having me on the show on the level. You know, it's been as you say, the hours flown by. But thank you very much for allowing me to, you know, to be heard and listened to. I mean, to Deborah's point, you know, I'll use the word gift again, but what a gift. So thank you. And thank you for everyone that's listening. And thank you for everyone that's gotten me to this place with the film. You can find the film on Showtime, which has been an incredible celebration for me and what a cherry on top. So if you have Showtime, please check it out. It's on demand anytime. But what's even more awesome than that, if you don't have Showtime, which I didn't have Showtime when it got on there, there's a 7-day free trial. And so you have an iPad or whatever, you can get the 7-day free trial, and if you want to ditch it after that, go for it. Watch the film, watch a few episodes of Ray Donovan, whatever. Keep it if you want to. I mean, Showtime's, it's great. They have wonderful programming, you know, including and especially my film. But there is an opportunity to see it on Showtime for everyone with the free trial. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I have DVDs available, and you can get a hold of me through the Kelly's Hollywood Facebook page. It's Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y apostrophe S, Hollywood, Kelly's Hollywood. There's also the website, kellyshollywood.com, all one word, obviously, kellyshollywood.com. There's a lot of information on there, my phone number, my email. But you're certainly welcome to reach out if you want a DVD. Please do. And there's what else? There's a Twitter page, Kelly's Hollywood. Showtime's the only way in the DVDs at this point. Because I'm under a license with Showtime, I'm limited to, you know, how I can make it available. But sooner than later, I'm hoping that contractually I'll be able to make it available on iTunes and Amazon and things like that. It's not there yet and now, but at some point maybe. I think that's it. Please reach out if you haven't, or you want to ask more questions. I'm more than happy to answer your listeners' questions more personally. And I encourage that if you want to further the conversation. But thank you again, Jay Lewis. I'm so thrilled to be here, and can't thank you again for giving me a forum to talk about my sister and my film. And thank you.
Absolutely, sir. And thank you once again for taking the time to, in my opinion, just bless us with your story, with the journey of you and your sister. And I mean, I know I can speak for anyone that has seen this film, and I can speak for anyone that's going to see this film. Thank you for introducing us to Kelly, because that is a gem that everybody needs to know and everybody needs to see. And you know, it's like the world works, and you know, they say the Lord works in mysterious ways. I knew ahead of time that I was going to have Brian on my show, but what I didn't know was that all of this chaos that's going on in this country, you know, just the chaos that's happened over the last 2 days here in Phoenix and then again in Reno today. You know, sure, Brian and Kelly were brother and sister, but, you know, I fully understand we're never going to be a society that goes back to what we used to be. But at some point, we have to say enough is enough. And I believe that now this is one of the best times for people, if you have not seen Kelly's Hollywood, I think this is one of the best times for you to go and see it. And again, it is very possible for two people that are not related to have that level of closeness. I had a conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago, and she was talking about her best friend that she's had for over 30 years. And she's telling me that they have never had an argument. So, I mean, it's absolutely possible. So I bring all of that up just to say Kelly's Hollywood is one of those movies that will change you after you watch it. I guarantee it will. So I absolutely invite anybody to, if you don't have Showtime, like Brian said, contact him. All of his information is going to be up on my show page when I put this show up on my show page, all of his information is going to be there. Contact him. Stay in contact with him. Watch the rest of his journey. Watch the rest of what he does. Because even though, you know, we're talking about his sister, Ryan's a pretty gifted cat himself. So I think you should definitely support him, support Kelly's Hollywood. I thank you all again, Brian. I thank you for being here. Thank you, listeners, for listening. I know we went over time. I am so sorry. It's J. Lewis Mills. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.